Tim, you got to control yourself. But in reality, and quite seriously, it's much more likely that the devil was inspiring Ignatius' letter than waiting at Philippi to read it. I guess that's enough of him. Now, that's really all I wanted to do, was get you started so that you can read through there. Some parts are going to be more interesting to you than others. If any parts seem confused or the answers don't seem clear, speak up. Send me an email or point it out to me. If you find any grammatical errors. I got a phone call from Rebecca about 15 minutes before class that I read the first page and I found some grammatical problems. She's not bashful at all. Now, Gary's question was, did any of these apostate fathers mention speaking in tongues or talk about it directly? And I don't remember that phrase being in any of them.
Has anyone tried to discredit some of these founding fathers before?
I've never seen anybody try to discredit them. I'm sure there must be something out there. I mean, some of this stuff is really, really strange. But I don't, Bob wanted to know if there's been anybody written anything to discredit these apostate fathers before this book. It's got to be somewhere. But I've never seen it. Never seen anybody else do that. But it was a big thing developing here.
You can see it.
And they were grasping for some of the attention and the popular and the fame. Which, in deference to Paul, I'll say it this way, in second place after the love of money, fame is what men want most. Attention, glory.
Well, that's really what Joseph Smith was doing.
Yeah.
Adding his P.
Well, actually, with Joseph Smith, as with Muhammad, I think they really had a contact with a spiritual being. It's too much for man to come up with what they came up with. You read the Book of Mormon, and after a while, you got to say, this did not come from human imagination. Neither did Islam. Neither did Christianity. There were times here when, out of their own imaginations, they tried to make a tradition start. But the things that did stick came from some other inspiration than their own imagination.
So it's really kind of still developing.
It's been evolving all along. But, you get the basics down, then they branch out. It's still evolving in Catholicism. It's still evolving among Protestants, but on different tracks. But here in the beginning, it's just getting the basics down. Now, whatever it was I talked about, Protestant and Catholics agree with whatever one point was. Doctrine of the Trinity, for the most part, almost unanimity on that issue. Politics, electing a pastor. So, anybody got any questions now? You know what the book's about, how I go about it. I've tried to simplify it, cut out a bunch of unnecessary material. I'm sure I could trim it down more. If you see unnecessary paragraphs, let me know. I'll chop it out. We're doing it like this instead of having a printer publish it so that we can change it. We'll replace pages if I need to. Yeah. By the way, just for your education, let me show you in the first one, the first pope, Clement, on the bottom of page 5. Then we'll stop after this. Bottom of page 5. Clement, the third pope, brings disgrace upon the holy name of Jesus and his resurrection by offering as proof, not evidence, as proof of the reality of resurrection, the example of the phoenix.